Hi guys, welcome back to Unapologetic Live. On this show, we've been having so many conversations about what it means to be a man, what it means to be a woman in today's society. In these conversations, I feel, and approach them from a traditional standpoint. You know, women have their roles, men have their roles. We do support each other in a way that just works functionally as a society. But the reason we're having a discussion about specifically masculinity today is because we have some controversial figures in the masculinity space right now. Two names you might have heard are Andrew Tate and Sneeko. Andrew Tate being the more popular of the two, who has now been banned off of platforms like Twitter, like Facebook, like Instagram, because apparently his message is very controversial. There's even a trend right now where girlfriends ask their boyfriends how they feel about Andrew Tate, and if their boyfriends express any sort of support for them, the girlfriend dumps them. So that's how much of an effect he is having on the lives of young people in our society right now. Today, I want to go through some of the hot takes from Andrew Tate and from Sneeko and hear from a truly masculine man, Dennis Prager.
By the way, may I offer an early thought
yes.
on just what you said? So here's a masculine moment.
Mm-hmm.
A guy dating a woman who says if he has any positive thought about Andrew Tate, and I don't know Andrew Tate at all, mm-hmm. basically, mm-hmm. but it doesn't matter. I've heard a little.
Yes.
And his reaction should be, You'll leave me if I have any positive thing to say about Andrew Tate. Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
That's that. The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, mm-hmm. he has lost his masculinity.
Ooh, a hot take from Dennis Prager out of the gate.
Well, that's right. But by the way, this doesn't mean, God forbid, that you're dismissive of your woman in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know my wife. I mean, I my regard for her is like a goddess.
Mm-hmm.
But she would be, first of all, she would never hold me hostage to such an idea. Though there is one. There is one, yes. If I smoked a cigarette, she thinks we would be heading to a divorce court. by the way, and here's the irony.
Uh-huh.
I smoke a cigar with her all night.
All night, yes. I was going to say.
Yes, that's the joke. But I agree with her on cigarettes. They stink. All right, go ahead.
Okay, fair enough. Now, I want to preface this with a disclaimer. We're not going to talk about Andrew Tate's personal life outside of the comments that he's made on his show, and I just want Dennis to react to the comments. I know a lot of people are going to hop in and say, well, Andrew Tate has allegations of this sort of criminal activity. He's engaged in this. I just want to talk about the ideas that he promotes on his show and have Dennis react to those. So,
right. And just to reassure everyone, I was not rehearsed on any of this.
Not at all.
This is pure spontaneity.
He's going in blind.
Okay.
Okay, Dennis, here is the number one statement.
Toxic masculinity is a term that was invented by women nobody wants to to describe the men that the women do want to
That's an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
Toxic masculinity is sort of like white privilege.
Mm-hmm.
It's a made-up term. And white privilege is a term that applies to all whites.
Right.
You could be an Appalachian impoverished white child of two addicts, and you're considered to have white privilege.
Right.
Right. But if you're Oprah, you don't have privilege. Right. Okay. So same with toxic masculinity. Toxic is redundant. They think masculinity definitionally is toxic.
Yes, 100%. And I always, it begs the question. I never hear anybody say toxic femininity. I never hear anybody have any qualms.
Perfect. Exactly. Because there is a belief since the 70s, I'd say, or even 60s, mm-hmm. that women are superior.
Yep.
Which, if anyone actually believes, let them look at which sex is screwing up children more
mm-hmm.
in schools with prematurely sexualizing them,
right.
men or women.
Right.
It's 90% female.
100% it is. It seems like with a lot of the social issues that get ushered into our society, they're brought about by women.
That's exactly correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ladies, get it together, please.
Men kill people, women kill society.
I've never heard that before. That is absolutely true if you really think about it. Wow.
Well, it was a spontaneous thought. That's why you never heard it before.
Dennis, I love it.
Spontaneous, okay. Dennis is quite impressive, I
this
must say.
This is very, wow, very impressive.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay, of course.
I want to earn a return visit.
Anytime at this point, Dennis. Okay, let's move on. Now we're going to talk about men and women in relationships. Here's an Andrew Tate take.
Women are addicted to drama. So as a man, it is your job. It's your job to instill a little bit of drama on the relationship to keep it interesting. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't, she'll bring the drama. But if I bring the drama, I control it, right? Mm-hmm. So if I have to fuck a bitch to keep you happy, yeah. I'm a good man. What part of that is a lie?
Oh, God, who said that?
Andrew Tate.
Okay. All right, look. It's a bizarre statement.
Yes.
No one should be creating drama in a relationship. Mm. I don't like drama queens, and I don't like drama kings. Okay. In fact, in a nutshell, the whole history of the left is that they're drama kings and queens. There's always a hysteria. Did you notice that? Most people don't notice that. But they go from hysteria to hysteria. Mm-hmm. So we have the hysteria of gay rights, that men can't marry men and women can't marry women. So that was over. You think, okay, thank you, we have solved that problem. No, within a day. No, it's now LGBTQ+IA and so on. No, now it's that there is no gender.
Right.
Not same sex. There is no sex is irrelevant. So it doesn't end. Oh, of course, climate change.
Right.
You will be boiled to death in 12 years. And every 12 years, the threat is renewed. Al Gore wrote the original 12-year threat in 1990.
Gosh. Okay, so just to sort of play on this a little bit more, there's this commonly held idea within the Andrew Tate world and the people who watch his podcast, particularly young men, that if women are in a perfect relationship that's always happy and doesn't have any road bumps, they get bored and they create drama either through cheating and infidelity or just, poking at their man, jabbing at them just to create something that's different than the happiness that they've been feeling in their relationship. So he thinks that men need to instill a little bit of drama just to keep the woman content.
Right, but how do you go about artificially creating drama? I mean, I wouldn't know what to do. Look, I wrote a book on happiness, and I've written a tremendous amount and talked a lot about it. I think mm-hmm. it's incredibly important. To me, the single greatest component of happiness is inner peace. Drama disturbs inner peace. I hate artificially induced drama. Life has enough drama. Everybody knows someone who is seriously ill. Everyone knows somebody who is addicted to something. I mean, why would I want to add to life's drama? We're not living in dramatic times.
Right.
By the way, and again, the left creates it. This is the whole America is racist is artificial drama.
Yeah.
This is all drama. These are drama queens. They are bored. That is correct. The source of leftism is boredom. And by the way, I have a theory on why there's boredom. Secularism plus affluence equals boredom.
Because you're just left in this cushy environment.
That's right. Right, exactly.
Mm.
So I'm no fan of drama.
Yeah.
The happiest relationships are as drama-free as possible.
I completely agree with you. My take on this is that drama is going to come to you in your life, external yes. of your relationship.
See, you're an example. This is coming out of nowhere, but it's a compliment. Hmm. But it's not even a compliment as much as an observation, but you could take it as a compliment, but it's meant as an observation.
Okay.
So there are a handful of people that have innate wisdom. Mm-hmm. Most people need to learn wisdom, and we teach none. This is the crisis of our society. But you have it. It's a gift from God or nature. I can never know which. But that was an example of it, that you think in these terms. So it'd be very interesting. I would love to know if you date guys who are peace-loving.
Oh, yes.
You do?
I do. My thing is, in your life, you're going to deal with so many problems external to your relationship. So find a man that helps you solve those problems. And,
that's
you know,
great.
Is
that's
there
great.
To,
yes.
to deal with it. Yeah, that's my philosophy. I don't want a man who creates problems for me.
Right. There's enough in life.
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
Yeah, whether you want them or
yes.
not.
Yes. That's why my motto on my radio show, I came up with this many years ago, and somebody actually put it to a jingle. They loved it so much, uh-huh. and it is great. So here it is. If nothing's horrific, life is terrific. That's one of my mottos of life.
That would make for a fantastic jingle, actually.
Oh, it does. If nothing's horrific, life is terrific. And then there's a drum.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, you mentioned happiness, Dennis. You mentioned you wrote a book about happiness, which segues right into the next quote here.
How I feel has no impact on how I live my life. I don't think happiness as an index is a healthy view for a man to have on life success. If you're waking up and going, oh, am I happy? Am I not? You're looking at life wrong.
It's a loaded one. There's a lot.
No,
there.
No, it's not loaded. It's silly. It's just, and I'm not knocking him because I agreed with him on previous stuff. You've played with me.
Yes.
I'm not knocking him at all. I just sure. think it's a silly comment. The idea that miserable people are more productive mm-hmm. is a myth.
Mm-hmm.
I am blessed to be happy, and no one would say I'm not productive. Okay? I don't want to recite my achievements, but I will just note, you don't write 9 major books, and they're all major.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm writing a Bible commentary. That's pretty heavy stuff.
Right.
And I'm a happy guy. And I'm happiest when I produce. So this notion, it's a romantic myth that, you know, Beethoven was miserable, which he was. That's mm-hmm. true. Mm-hmm. But Bach wasn't miserable.
Right.
I know music well, so I'm using musical analogies.
Sure.
Anyway, you're not going to want to be married to Beethoven. You want to hear his music,
mm-hmm.
but you don't want to be his wife.
Yeah.
And he never had a wife, by the way.
Right.
So I don't know what he's talking about. And by the way, this is a big theme of mine, which has changed a lot of lives.
Mm-hmm.
I want people to think that they're morally obligated to be happy.
Okay.
Because why? I compare bad moods to bad breath. We brush our teeth, we gargle in order to not inflict bad breath or bad body odor on others.
Mm-hmm.
Same with a bad mood. You were in a bad mood, don't inflict it on me.
Right. Ooh, which is sometimes what Andrew Tate does, but we won't get into that. Taylor, any thoughts so far?
Let's see. With this idea that men are not supposed to be happy or be pursuing happiness, I'm reminded of Jordan Peterson's when he talks about how life is suffering and the meaning of life is to find something that makes that suffering worthwhile.
Oh, that's agreed. But yeah. He wouldn't argue that it is a wonderful thing to suffer.
Right. And I think that's the distinction.
It's part of life, of course, and you have to deal with it.
Yeah.
But the joyful human, look, from a religious standpoint, there is a biblical command, worship God in joy. And as I often point out in my religious writings, the best argument for atheism mm-hmm. is an unhappy religious person. In fact, if you're chronically unhappy and religious, either get happy or stop acting religious.
Right.
You're giving us a bad name.
It's bad advertising.
You're giving God a bad advertising. Yes. Look, what a product my Christianity is
right.
or my Judaism is. I'm miserable.
Okay, Dennis, let's move on here. Now, this next statement is one that is often echoed by many men in this space. These are self-proclaimed alpha males, and they often tout the fact that they are with multiple women all of the time, and they don't have a singular person who they're constantly with. Here's the phrase.
I think the guys should be the ones showing what they bring to the table. The women should be demanding what they want in a relationship. Does that
Why?
That make sense?
Well, what does a woman bring to the table?
Nothing! Nothing! They don't bring anything! Wake up! They bring nothing! Don't waste your time! Don't waste energy! They bring nothing! Get 5 of them! Get 5! Collect them like Pokemon!
That's male nature.
Mm-hmm.
So I, Dennis, representing every man on earth, I am two people.
Mm-hmm.
I am a male and I am a man.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And I was raised to be a man. You start off, the animal in you is male. Mm-hmm. The male wants as many women as possible. That is the way men are. Mm-hmm. And it is bad for men and it is bad for women. Mm-hmm. But that's our nature. We have to conquer it. And then we become men. Mm-hmm. When you can control the male in you, by the way, women have to control the female in themselves and become a woman.
Sure.
Just for the record, it's not the same thing. They don't have to control the desire for a staggering number of women and men in bed.
Right.
That's not the women's nature. What women's nature is to be controlled by emotions rather than reason. Mm-hmm. So they have to control that, and we have to control our predilection to aggression, physical aggression, and our predilection to sexual predatory behavior. I don't know if your generation even knows about Hugh Hefner, that he was the publisher of Playboy, and he had, I don't know, 1,000 Playboy playmates in bed or whatever he claimed to have had.
Yes.
And I remember all of these people who would write about him. Oh, Hugh Hefner has a prodigious sexual appetite. And I thought, give me a break. Every man I know has a prodigious sexual appetite. Mm-hmm. It's just he acted on it, and a lot of us control it. But give me a break about this prodigious sexual appetite. If you're male and you own testicles, you have a prodigious sexual appetite.
So would you say that this is sort of just a phase that all young men go through, and hopefully by the end of it they've managed to just control it as
well?
As
that's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. And the most masculine man is in control of himself. Mm. That's masculinity. Living like an animal doesn't make you masculine. It just makes you an animal.
Agreed.
That's just why would a boy look up to a man who lives like that? Maybe some do. I don't know. Maybe boys looked up to Hugh Hefner. Mm-hmm. I could understand men envying Hugh Hefner,
yep,
but not looking up to him.
Right.
That's not the same thing.
On the distinction, yeah, between a man and a male, I think that's really interesting. We saw a headline this week that Nick Cannon just had he's a male celebrity who just had his 9th child with, I don't know which, how many women, but on the note of this, like, a man is not having a child, or the ability to have a child does not make you a man. It's like being there.
Yeah,
to
right.
Raise
well,
it.
Animals have an ability to have a right. child. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So being there and being an actual father figure is what
yes,
makes you a
right.
man.
What people need to understand is to lead a good life involves some degree of self-denial.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we are in the age of self-esteem, not self-denial. Self-actualization, not self-denial. Very few kids are raised to understand that life consists of self-denial. And that is the root of our issue.
Right. We're telling them that it's a horrible thing to just, like, suppress.
Oh, no, that's right. Yep. Be yourself. Yep. Okay, I'm an animal. I'll be myself.
Yeah. Mm. Here's your next one, Dennis.
That the modern society we live in has been built by men. Let's cut the crap. All the roads you see, all the buildings you see, everything around you, men built. All of it. Men are still out here building the modern world. But when they come home now, the girl's like, oh, why should I cook for you?
Not bad. No, that was just a fun response. There's some truth to it. Mm-hmm. It's overstated. It's simplified. But if we are to be there for a woman at any moment... Mm-hmm. Then why can't she be there for us at any moment? That's a nice thing.
Yep.
My wife is a lawyer, not practicing because she gave it up to be a full-time mom. She is, and I very rarely use this about anybody, she's brilliant. She is as strong as a nail. I mean, she's tough as a hammer. And yet she is 100% my wife.
Mm-hmm.
100%. It's uncanny how much she does for me. And I am so grateful. And I try to be there similarly in my male way for her. I don't know why that's a bad idea.
Yeah, a lot of young women will hear that and go, that's disgusting.
Oh, disgusting.
How dare you?
Yes.
But if I'm dating somebody, my boyfriend, I expect when there's wolves at the door or something bad is happening, he's going to step up and take the role. In the meantime, if you want a sandwich, I'll make you a sandwich. That's how I feel about it.
Right. And who would ever say you are not so strong. You're so obviously, they misconstrued strength.
Yes.
Feminine strength is strength. Feminist strength is weakness.
100%. What's the quote that nowadays men are substandard men, and nowadays women are also substandard men? It's just like
exactly. You know, I'm just using my wife because that's the woman I'm married to. She was a waitress in her late teens and early 20s, and a guy, the manager, went over and grabbed her breasts. Mm-hmm. So she smacked the guy and continued waitressing. And she tells the story, and when I have told this story, the left went berserk.
Yeah.
Prager holds that as a model reaction? She didn't go to HR. There was no HR then. Right. And she wouldn't have gone to HR. Right. She smacked the guy and continued waitressing. She wasn't traumatized.
Right.
That's the point.
Yes. We were just talking this morning about trauma and how now it's just culturally accepted that if something, quote, traumatic happens to you, you're supposed to hold on to that for the rest of your life. And now you're in activism
right.
for
and
that
And by
thing.
The way, you determine what's traumatic. I'm not talking about fighting and war where people mm-hmm. are trying to kill you with grenades.
Right.
That's an objectively traumatic situation. Mm-hmm. But I mean, when I hear, you know, so a guy inappropriately touched her. And I agree, that is inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
But from the woman's standpoint, we're going to cultivate anger and hurt
for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Well, in my wife's case, it wasn't for an hour.
Yeah. Oh, it's a lesson in handling things.
Yes, it's a lesson in handling things.
It
That's
really
right.
is.
Yes.
Okay, let's move on here. We got a few more to go. So, Andrew Tate says,
life for a man is harder than life for a woman. Most men live depressing lives. For most men out here, they can't even feel wanted. Their wife left them. They're invisible to women. Their kids don't talk to them. They're just not wanted. Society has huge burdens on men. We're supposed to be smart. We're supposed to be rich. We're supposed to be interesting. Gotta have jokes. Gotta have chat lines. Right? Gotta be charming. Gotta be cool. Experiences. Stories. We need to have a lot of to be an important man. To be a woman, you need makeup.
Oh, well, there is to attract the opposite sex, that's mm-hmm. largely true.
Mm-hmm.
To keep them, it's not true.
Right.
But to attract them, it's unfair to both sexes, but the women's looks are more important than men's looks. That is entirely accurate. But again, the left, which is a rebellion against reality, it is one way of defining all leftism is a rebellion against reality. They can't stand that it's different. Oh, well, women like men's looks too. Of course they do. But the average man is not gorgeous or ugly.
Right.
He becomes gorgeous or ugly depending on the four other things you just mentioned.
Exactly.
Whereas a woman is objectively gorgeous or ugly. God forbid the ugly. It's a very painful thing to ever say. But my point is simply that the looks matter.
Mm-hmm.
That's who the man will gravitate to first. But as I said, a woman who thinks the looks are enough is very, very mistaken.
That's exactly right. And I mean, in the inverse, you can say that men's money is more important than women's money.
That's correct. Yep. It is.
And it's not going to take
the
you all
the richest
way.
Women still want richer men.
Exactly. But your money doesn't take you all the way. So men can't simply rely on the money to keep the woman, although in some cases.
Well, in some cases, her looks will keep him.
Exactly.
But this is not a deep couple.
This is exactly right. Okay, here's a really strong one.
I don't believe in depression. Don't message me about depression because I don't believe in it. Belief is a powerful thing. I believe I can hurt any man on the planet. And that's why people are afraid of me. And you believe depression is a crippling disease. And that's why you're afraid of it.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I don't know what the person... Is that Andrew Tate?
That is Andrew Tate.
So I don't know what he means exactly. Does he believe it doesn't really exist? There are people, I'm sad to say, but it's true.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's true. Let's put it that way. Who are physiologically depressed. There is a brain chemistry issue.
Mm-hmm.
However, there is some truth to what he says. That there is an increase having nothing to do with brain physiology.
Mm-hmm.
Look, the very fact that I guess he said it, which is ironic, but or somebody said how the virtue of unhappiness, if unhappiness is a virtue, then you can't be shocked if people get depressed. You have to fight depression.
Right.
That's what I would say. If that's what he's saying, I certainly agree. But to deny that it exists, there are people who can't get out of bed.
Yep. I completely agree with you. I do think that there is a physiological problem as it pertains to, you know, chemical and hormonal imbalances and all those things. But there's certainly a class of people that wakes up and decides not to choose happiness every single day.
This was the biggest revelation in 22 years of doing my happiness hour on my radio show. And I wrote a book on happiness and didn't realize it. There are people who don't want to be happy.
Yep.
That to me is like saying there are people who don't want to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I dread unhappiness.
Yep. I mean, when I think of just wokeness in general, I think a lot of what's at its core is people not wanting to be happy. And no matter what facts you give them, no matter what you tell them to relieve some of the oppression they might be witnessing or feeling, don't want it.
If your unhappiness derives from victimhood, then you'll never give it up because you rely on victimhood for status, for the ability to blame others for all of your unhappiness.
Yes.
The day you blame you is your happiest day of your life. That's
true.
The irony.
And it's ironic that it's also the hardest thing to do is to sit and blame yourself.
Yes.
Okay, one last one here. Which one do I want to pick? Okay.
When women come along and say, oh, we're just as important, you are just as important, but you do had a completely different role. You fulfilled a different role in society. And I think now, if you look at the roles of society, I believe men are still doing their job, but I don't know if women are doing their job.
I think both have abandoned equally.
Okay, let's talk about the male side.
Well, I know from a lot of women, both in whom I meet and who I speak to on the radio, that are dating, and their great lament is that they're dating boys, not men.
Yeah.
To be a man is masculine, to be a boy is not. So I think it's equal. I think that women want to remain girls, and men want to remain boys in equal numbers. The question is, which came first, the chicken or the egg? I don't know the answer to that. It's a real dance. When women stop being feminine, men stop being masculine, and vice versa.
Yeah. In my thoughts about it, I was trying to think, you know, which one was the man first? Was it the woman first? And I'm leaning towards it being the woman first because I feel like there was this time in history where people started to recognize women as being a large consumer base. And in order to make them larger consumers and expand the marketplace a little bit, they had to become increasingly a little bit more masculine and sort of abandon the feminine roles that they've taken on for so long. So, and then I
there's another argument why you're right. And that is men will do anything to get women or a woman. And if women demand masculine men, I should say, then they'll be more masculine.
Yep.
But if they make the announcement, you're fine as a boy. You know, I'm totally happy to have sex with you because I'm like you. And I don't want to get married or have children. So the guy goes, cool.
Yeah. That is a great argument.
Yes, though, if women said, as they did for all of history, you want me? Okay, under the wedding canopy.
Right, right. I mean, L.A. is like a social experiment for exactly what you've just said, because I meet so many guys who live here now, and because it is the popular thing to sort of be this very pro-feminist man who paints his nails and is not concerned about being masculine, who cries and all this stuff, men are adopting that. They're tripping over themselves
That's
to
correct.
Adopt that.
Whatever message women send out, and if they're you're serious, they're sending out the message of painted fingernails?
Yeah. That's an attractive thing to a lot of women now.
You're kidding me.
Very much so. I've met so many men here.
One minute,
in LA.
Let me make sure I'm awake.
I'll tell you a funny story. So my roommate and I used to go out to the bar and just sit and talk to each other and, you know, talk to whoever came by. And a bartender once walked up to us and he had his nails painted and they were black with sparkly nail polish. He knew the name of the nail polish and knew all the different colors he had back home and was asking us as a means of, you know, flirting, which nail polish color he should pick
for
his nails.
And was that an effective means of flirting?
No.
Praise the Lord. There is hope for mankind. Holy crow.
Yes. So this is real. It's real stuff. So I think...
This was revelatory, I have to say.
So I think women might have led the charge on the decline in masculinity a little bit.
On that topic, I have to mention, and I hope, I mean, this could come off poorly, but I couldn't help but have my mind go to the Garden of Eden on the question of who was first. And the serpent deceived Eve first. And like you're mentioned before that when women destroy societies, the proclivity, if you can get women to believe a lie, it can have destructive consequences. And I think that that's what we're seeing with the lie of modern day feminism.
And how easily the man will be persuaded.
Exactly. Yeah. If a man follows right behind, yes, he's no better.
Right.
Yeah.
Look, wow. Feminists missed the realization, again, in the rebellion against reality. All of leftism is a denial of reality. Mm-hmm. And this notion that men have power without realizing the power women had in men's lives, it's so naive.
Yep.
Women today are in every position of power, and they're not powerful.
Mm-hmm.
That's the irony.
Yep. They've lost it for fighting some power that they never really needed or was natural to them in a lot of ways.
Yes. Anyway, political power is not power.
No.
It's power for the left because that's all they care about is political power. But for the rest of us, power is being the head of a family. That's the only power I have ever wanted in my life was to head a family, not a corporation, not a Senate seat.
Yeah.
And I loved it. A man comes home to, if he can come home to grateful wife and grateful kids, that is so fulfilling.
Yep. That's the dream.
That is the dream.
That is the dream. And hopefully we have some men watching right now who might be, living in a vacuum now that Andrew Tate has been swiped off the internet.
Yeah. I just got to say, I have a newfound appreciation for what you just said, because I lost my grandfather last year, and it was the first major loss of someone very close to me and my family. And I remember reflecting on his funeral. I gave a little speech, and he lived a very quiet, simple life. But he was beloved by his community. His pastor spoke very complimentary of him. He, worked 40 years for the same company.
He achieved more than the vast majority of senators.
That's what I learned.
And presidents.
Yeah. Looking back at his life, I'm like,
that's exactly
there's so
right.
much value in just being a good man. It's what society is built.
Right. That's what people knew for most of history.
Mm.
And then the rejection of those truths began in the 60s.
Yeah, and now we have just a pool of probably millions and millions of young men right now who are looking for a path towards what is natural to them, towards harnessing that good form of masculinity, and they're just being pounded down by the culture.
The number of young men who say to me that I am a father figure is very touching to me, and I have two responses. And I say them publicly. Obviously, I'm saying it publicly. Every man should aspire to be a father figure. Yep. But men didn't, because they wanted to remain boys. If you're a father figure, you're a man, not a boy.
Right.
So that's a big deal, that you should aspire to be a father figure to younger men. And the second reaction I always have is that means they didn't really have it in their dad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true for so many.
Because had they had it, they would know. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Well, Dennis, any parting thoughts on all the different things we went over today?
Oh, no, because we went over so much. It would take a rehab. But I would like to remind everybody that at PragerU is also my fireside chat every week.
Yes.
Which you can watch. It's just really myself and my viewers. That's called the Fireside Chat. And I just wanted to remind everybody about it.
Yes, and check out his radio show with Salem Radio, because you can get all of these words of wisdom on a daily basis. Would you believe that? You can get that for free, ladies and gentlemen. So yes, for the men and women watching, it's okay that we have roles. It's okay that we have things that are natural to us, and we should try to harness that in healthy ways and support each other in doing so. We do need each other. We do need each other, whether or not you want to accept that or you don't. But hopefully one day all will realize that we do need each other. Guys, if you liked this video, if you like what we had to say, Put that down in the comments down below. What did you like? Is there something that you wish we said that we didn't say? Is there a point of disagreement with us that you want to drop in the comments down below? Put it down there. We can encourage some healthy debates between those who watch the show, and I'll hop in the comments. I always love to read what you guys have to say. Also, if you like what we're doing, the content we're creating, please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time we go live. That is 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, and we'll see you guys next time. Dennis, thank you for being on.
It was great.